you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. It's Wednesday, which means it's Prime Life Times in Review.
Yay.
Hey, woohoo. And we have a special guest joining us. In fact, I have some topics in front of me, George. I think at some point we're going to talk about loose ends, cupcake, falling into the job that you now have as the publisher of that fantastic newsletter that most of us, I think most of our staff receive.
It's
really good. He writes it for the Attica Williamsport EPC, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church there in Attica, correct?
Yes.
Indiana.
Yay, Indiana. Woohoo. And Common Sense, and that's an article you're going to read that's published in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the July edition. So we appreciate George. In fact, you and Jane have supported the radio ministry. How did you first learn of Great News Radio or the Prime Life Times for that matter?
Found you on the radio.
On the radio. So it began with the radio.
Found you on the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
So you drove in all the way from Attica. That's where you and Jane
yes.
live. How long have you been residents there?
I've been a resident there since about 1976.
Okay, so a long time. And I know you and Jane. Jane's across the room. She's at the prayer table, so we're going to be counting on her prayers. She's not real anxious about being behind a microphone, but I think you had said Jane married like 37 or so 36 years?
36 years this October.
36 Great. Years. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And thank you, George, for driving over and being a part of our radio ministry. On the side, he delivers papers for the Prime Life Times. There's been a few
Who
locations
doesn't?
That he's like, hey, they're low here. I'll just go to this
I
other
love
place.
It.
In fact, he and Richard met up a few times now. He was like, Richard, you know, I think this is a good place you should follow up on and this and this. And then Richard got papers delivered there. Might have even gotten an ad or two. I think the Crossroad Family Restaurant in Attica, I think you gave him a lead or something.
Yeah.
We had an ad in there.
And hey, you're talking about Richard Berkey.
Yeah, Richard. Is there another Richard?
I know. We just say Richard.
Yeah. The Richard. But anyways, thank you, George, for taking the initiative and thinking of places. And everyone
so
knows
appreciated.
I get pretty pumped up when people take the initiative and make recommendations and then do the work. In fact, I think it was you, gosh, it must have been over a year or so ago, you sent me an email and said, you know, Mark, if you could do some hot links to your Prime Life Times website, it'd make it easier for people to connect with different articles and such. And so we've made some advancement. I could use a whole full-time person to do our social media and some of those different things with the website. But you've made a lot of recommendations because you've been doing this church newsletter, which has become really a ministry work of yours,
yeah.
a number of hours each month where you make it very readable and attractive and inviting. How many people now are on that mailing list or get their e-newsletter from you?
We print about 30 paper copies.
Okay.
We email the announcement to about just shy of 100.
Okay. Mm. So a good bunch of us.
For a while, we were sending paper copies to everybody.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we had a mailing list of over 200.
Oh, right. wow.
Including four continents.
Really?
Because we have missionaries we're in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we were actually hitting four continents. But the price of everything kept going up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paper costs go up.
Hey, we know all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toner cost goes up.
Yeah.
You're singing to the choir here.
Yeah. Then the post office keeps raising the rates on the bulk mail.
Yeah.
We're all familiar with these things.
Well, it's an incredibly well put together newsletter.
Well, why don't we begin with you reading your story? If your ears have been ringing for a period of time, Marianne has been singing you praises. She said, Mark, this is a wonderful article. Usually we limit some of the content to 300 words, 500 words, maybe 700 words. It's a good one. Marianne said, Mark, this is a real winner. This is going to really interest people. So if you haven't picked up your July edition of the Prime Life Times, do it now. Do it in the next few days anyway. And we'll have you read your story, and then maybe we can touch on some of these other topics, because this is a really good one. And what did you love best about this, Marianne?
I didn't know this part of history.
Okay.
And it seems like it was really kind of foundational and pivotal and made a lot of difference, and I felt felt like, okay, now I know. I love to learn the causes of different things, and this was just a really interesting one.
Most of us grew up thinking that history was dull.
I didn't think that, George, but I did realize there's a lot of empty places I don't know history, so I do know that.
But speaking for maybe many of the boys growing up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we wanted to be out of the classroom playing sports, or I think for many men, don't want to over-stereotype.
Let's just stop right here,
right. Yeah.
Okay. I come from a basketball family. My mother was the manager for basketball
team.
Well,
you're a reader, though, and you've loved words.
Girls
you know.
Do like sports.
Yeah. Okay, so give us some common sense here, George. This is your article, George Ellsworth from Attica, Indiana. It's under People and Places, A5 in the July edition of the Prime Lifetimes.
Common sense. Among life's many mysteries, I've often wondered why we designate as common sense that trait in short supply. Gleaned from George's backlog.
I like that.
That's my collection.
Right.
Virtually everyone who ever sat through a high school U.S. history class knows Thomas Paine wrote the pamphlet Common Sense. Most also know Common Sense was influential, possibly pivotal, in the wholesale transformation of public opinion in the days leading up to and immediately following July 4th, 1776.
Now I'm going to stop you here. Now, I think most all of us, probably 50 and older, are very familiar with common sense. Do they still teach that in the public schools nowadays? I mean, would somebody in their 20s and 30s be familiar with common sense?
You mean the pamphlet or the actual common sense?
The pamphlet.
I don't know. What do you think, George?
I think the answer is probably no on both counts.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very definitive. Thank you. Back to the story.
The average American, however, knows little about the pamphlet itself and even less about its author. Paine was born in Thetford, England in 1737 to a Quaker father and an Anglican mother. His formal education was limited to the three R's, and by the age of 13 he had joined his father in making stays, support rigging, for the ships at the Thetford shipyards. Paine later worked as an excise agent, collecting tobacco and liquor taxes and tracking down smugglers. He was not particularly good at this or at any other job, and he was in fact known as a serial failure.
Wow.
His ship stay business folded about the time his wife and child died in childbirth in 1760. In 1772, Paine made his first foray into political activism when he wrote and distributed The Case of the Officers of Excise, a 21-page pamphlet advocating better pay for excise officers. This pamphlet inaugurated his reputation as a rabble-rouser, and in 1774, the excise office fired him. When a fortuitous meeting put Thomas in contact with Benjamin Franklin, the idea of moving to America took root. Ben encouraged him to go and gave him letters of introduction to assist him in finding work in the New World.
Marianne, did I receive letters of recommendation for you to help out with our staff years ago?
Huh.
I'll have to look for those.
What an interesting comment.
All right. At least I derail you too much, George. This is really interesting. I didn't know any of this about Thomas Paine.
In January 1775, Paine took a job as assistant editor for the Pennsylvania Magazine. That gave him a platform to begin writing in earnest. The battles of Lexington and Concord helped solidify Paine's opinion that revolt against taxes and oppression was insufficient, that independence was the only viable option. In January 1776, he published the pamphlet Common Sense, an eloquent, logical, compelling exposition of views on revolution versus reconciliation. He began his treatise with an introduction that offered the subtle warning that his views might be outside the current mainstream. He explained why. In his first paragraph, Paine described government as inherently evil, yet necessary, because man cannot restrain himself from his baser tendencies.
Sounds pretty biblical, too.
He expounded on the evils of monarchs and aristocrats and the manner in which they rule over commoners. He included a solid biblical argument that kings in toto are a sinful invention designed by the devil to promote idolatry. He discussed the monarchical system of succession by heredity and explained how that opened the door to rule by unqualified, perfidious, and even incompetent heirs, simply by right of parentage. He even refuted John Locke's proposal for a monarch limited by a Congress because of the danger that an avaricious monarch, by virtue of title and power of position, could usurp the oversight powers of the Congress.
Where's Rob? Rob would be just glowing in this article, all these words.
Rob loved this article.
Yeah, I wonder why. Great use of vocabulary, George.
The point he drives home is that reconciliation with England would be futile, a fool's endeavor. Paine thoroughly examined the state of hostilities between the colonies and the crown, concluding that total separation, by whatever means necessary, was inevitable, imminent, and just. Nor did Paine conclude his work with only the negative. He proposed a representative form of government for the newly united colonies, one similar to what our Constitution now defines. Finally, as the Revolutionary War loomed large on the horizon, Paine addressed the state of readiness of the colonies to successfully prosecute such rebellion. He maintained that the unity of the people of the colonies, joined together against a common foe, was much more than a match for the crown's power. The vast resources of wood and tar, combined with the skills and the work ethic of the colonists, would enable them to build a navy to rival or exceed that of England. He even went so far as to estimate that said navy could be built and equipped for a fraction of the amount Britain owed in national debt. He did not, however, clarify how England's debt bore any relationship to the calculated cost of the thus far imaginary colonial navy. No matter. The connecting line was so eloquently drawn, it served its purpose.
Yeah.
The pamphlet Common Sense was so articulate and persuasive that it spread like wildfire through the colonies. The 2 million residents of America purchased 100,000 copies in the first 3 months. All told, nearly 500,000 copies sold during the Revolutionary War. The pamphlet was passed from hand to hand, read aloud in taverns and churches, and posted on walls for everyone to see. Common Sense became a powerful recruiting document for the Continental Army, and it spread and encouraged republicanism among the population, where most people still saw themselves as loyal but aggrieved subjects of the crown. It presented the idea of a complete break with England in such a way that it required the reader to make a definite choice in the present that would affect not just himself, but his children and their children for generations to come. Reconciliation would, at best, leave open the path to return to the onerous ways of the past, whereas a clean break would offer a new start, unencumbered by cataclysmic past failures. Thomas Paine opened a new front of attack for the impending revolution. Though most of the grievance issues prior to Common Sense were directed at the king's regional officials and the British Parliament, Paine made charges against monarchy at large, which were, in fact, overt charges directed personally at King George III. He persuaded the colonists to see that those visible local targets were merely the puppets, whereas the source of the problem was King George pulling their strings. Common Sense probably had little effect on the Continental Congress as they considered the Declaration of Independence. That body was concerned primarily with how a declaration would affect the war already in progress. But it did muster and unify support, without which the declaration would have been moot. Thomas Paine was a man who did not fit into any standard classification. He is most remembered for his political writing. He was known as a firebrand rabble-rouser in England, America, and France. He was an eloquent master of the King's English and a gifted wordsmith. He was also a political visionary with a keen eye for the future. We can infer these things from what we know about the success of his writings. Some things we didn't know: he was also a student of history, a Bible scholar, an inventor, the smokeless candle and the crane, an architect and a civil engineer who designed and built bridges. Paine also believed America was ordained to be the home of freedom, particularly religious freedom, and a refuge for the oppressed masses of the world. History records that he went a bit off the rails in his later years, but that he was the right man at the right place at the right time to put common sense into the hands and hearts of a people destined for greatness. As you celebrate July 4th this year, thank God that Thomas Paine was here when we really needed him. The providence of God was, is, and will always be the true source of greatness in any culture. Its absence spells disaster.
And the byline reads, George Ellsworth, Attica, Indiana, all rights reserved, used by permission. George is a retired telephone company engineer and computer technician. He has edited the Good News newsletter for more than 20 years. He resides with his wife of 36 years in Attica. How come there's no photograph here?
That's a good question.
George?
I think we didn't have enough room. Did you send one? I don't remember.
I sent one back in December.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get that updated, because
yes,
when I look at this,
yeah,
I say,
yeah,
hey, who's this gal?
Oh, no, that's
Kelly.
Kelly Cook from Gibson Area Hospital.
Yeah, but I was like, where's George's photographs? But
yeah.
Anyway, great article. A lot of history and reading and research went into this, I believe, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Great history article, history lesson.
Wow,
excellent.
Thank you, God, for Thomas Paine, and I'm encouraged to read some more because he didn't finish well, and that's been the case of many people.
That
God
happens.
Has used at points in history and for whatever reason, backsliding or falling into sin or whatever, but God certainly used him for a certain time period, and I don't know how he ended, but it didn't sound like he ended well.
No.
But he did write a very important document.
Yeah, that
I'd like to read it. I want to order it, the copy.
Wow, common sense.
Now, Mark, we have to talk about George and Jane and their dog that can run their can opener real quick.
You mean
so,
that allows them to live in the house?
That's right.
Cupcake.
So how does your dog, I have to hear this, how does your dog run the can opener?
Oh, she doesn't run the can opener. She runs me.
Oh, okay.
To run the can opener.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
That's why.
Okay.
That's why Cupcake allows them to live in the house, because they know how to run the can opener.
Oh, and, okay.
And that's one thing she hasn't mastered yet.
I'm so glad to hear it.
That's why Cupcake allows them to live there.
I get it.
They're needed as her servant.
I had this visual of the dog getting up on the counter, putting its paw on the can opener.
If I'd give her a step stool to get up there, she'd give it a try.
Okay, all right, great.
Well, you were talking earlier about some loose ends and then also falling into this job, maybe in our closing minute and a half. Why do you spend so many hours these 20-plus years doing this newsletter and feeling like God's put this as a calling in your life?
It's a labor of love that I sort of fell into when the lady who was doing the newsletter before was injured in an automobile accident and was unable to continue for some time.
Well, I'm glad you're able to step in.
She's never asked for the job back.
Oh.
Yeah, 20 years removed. Yeah,
she's letting you do it, huh?
Yeah, earlier I was talking to Jane before we began this program, and she said, yeah, you spend a lot of hours because you really want to do it with excellence. Is it part of that, what is it, Colossians 3:23? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for men. So you see this as kind of a calling to do an excellent newsletter. I think Jane helps with some proofreading or editing, or I think I was calling her your research assistant or something. Sometimes she finds articles or information for you to include.
A place to start.
Okay.
And she is my proofreader. She's the difference between an unmade bed and a nice, presentable newsletter.
Great. That's great. Yeah.
She catches things. You can't proofread your own stuff.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Takes another pair of eyes.
She catches things, and I say, well, I know that was in there when I wrote it.
It was in my head.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw it there when when I read.
Exactly. I know that feeling. Yeah. Well, way to go, Jane, over there at the table.
Jane across the room. We appreciate both of you driving in all the way from Attica, Indiana. And I think, Marianne, we had a meeting yesterday for our Prime Lifetimes team, and we're hoping the August edition is going to include some maybe Indiana stories or some other things.
Well, it may some, but September will.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we're working towards that. Yes. Yeah, that's right. We're already a month or two ahead, I guess you would say. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, George, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Prime Lifetimes in Review, as we always love to read stories. And if you haven't gotten your edition, it's available in over 300 area locations. In fact, if you go online, primelifetimes.com, and you look at last month's edition, the June edition, it lists almost 300 different locations by town, whether it's in Indiana or Illinois, all alphabetized, so you can find a location near you. Or you can sign up and subscribe and have it mailed right to your home. It's a $30 cost for the whole year, and that really just basically covers the postage. So you can call us and we can do that, 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. For our Indiana listeners, here's an 800 number for you, 1-888-333-9466. 1-888-333-9466. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and George Ellsworth with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Lifetimes. God bless you and have a great day and night.